الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فقد رشد واهتدى ومن يعص الله ورسوله فقد ضل ضلالا بعيدا أما بعد My dear respected brothers, mothers, elders and sisters, all praises are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our Lord, our sustainer, our cherisher, our nourisher, and the only entity entitled to worship. Thereafter, salutations be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, upon his companions, upon his family members, and every believer to come till the Day of Judgment. My brothers and sisters, when the Prophet ﷺ speaks about us, meaning individuals who have not seen him and who have not lived in his time, what does he have to say with regards to such people, us? So there's a narration in Sahih Muslim that once the Prophet ﷺ went to the graveyard and he said, "Assalamu alaykum dara qawmi mu'mineen, peace be upon you, O, the house or the area where Muslims or believers are resting. Wa inna insha'Allahu bikum lahiqoon. And one day we will join you as well." And then after this, he took a sigh and he said, "Wadidtu, how I wish." He said, "Wadidtu anna qad ra'ayna ikhwanana. How I wish I saw my brothers. How I wish I saw my brothers and sisters." So the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, in amazement, while being surprised, they asked, "Awalasna ikhwanaka ya Rasulallah? Are we not your brothers, O Messenger of Allah?" So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he responded by saying, "Antum ashabi, you are my companions. My brothers are those who have not yet come, but they believe in my message." And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he continued on to say how he will recognize his brothers on the Day of Judgment, that they will come with shining portions on their body because of their dedication in their wudu, just merely their dedication in their wudu. That is why I always tell people wudu is a sincere ibadah, it's not a routine. Sometimes we just wash here and there, we don't make sure that, you know, our sides are washed, our arms are washed properly, and we just run to the masjid or run towards salah. This is also hisab indallah, because without wudu, this is also accountability. Without wudu, your prayer is not complete, and something which is possibly taken lightly. But once your prayer is not complete, then how are you making that connection once again between yourself and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he basically will call unto those people, ala halumma, and there will be individuals from among us who the angels will say regarding, innahum qad bada'u ba'dak, these people innovated after you, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And as those individuals approach the hawth, the fountain wherein the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, from which he will quench the thirst of all believers, these individuals who the angels will term as bid'ati or mubtadi'un, these angels will remove those people, and they will be deprived from quenching the thirst from the fountain of Kawthar. My brothers and sisters, what I'm getting to is that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam called us his brothers, and he called us his sisters. The reason for which is we uphold the message of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, despite us not seeing him. And this is in everything. This message that we uphold is in every aspect of life. May it be our trustworthy nature in the workplace. May it be our sincerity at the masjid. And yes, may it be our goodness that we present to our families. May it be us understanding the concept of marriage in the same manner that the Prophet ﷺ was bestowed to understand the concept of marriage. What is marriage in a whole? When you talk about it in a religious aspect, you know, in a shell, in a crux, what is marriage? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the 21st juz of the Holy Quran, He says, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِقَوْمٍ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ So there is this passage where Allah is discussing His signs. So He says from among His signs is that He created from you a spouse for you. Referring to Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, that his spouse was created from him. Three purposes. لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا For you to live with them and not only live with them. If Allah wanted to merely limit it to living with them, then He wouldn't use the word لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا. لِتَسْكُنُوا comes from a reference of sukoon. So you may feel tranquility by them. Meaning, if you're married and you're not feeling tranquil, then there's something wrong. You might need to seek help. Or you might need to revisit the entire purpose of why you got married. لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا. First purpose. وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً Three purposes. He created in between you مَوَدَّةً Love. At a young age, when you initially get married, it's an overflow of love. But then when you get used to that, when you get used to that relation, then it's not that that love dies out. So long as people are living according to the sunnah or living in peaceful terms, that love will stay, that love will be there. But you'll get used to that love. So hence, the third quality needs to be applied. What is that? Rahmah. Mercy. When you get used to that love, then you have to push yourself to show that love with a bit of mercy in that relation. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concludes the verse by saying, إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِقَوْمٍ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ Indeed, there are signs for those who ponder with regards to the entire concept of marriage. So I mentioned, if you are going through troubles, you need to seek help. If you are going through some ifs and buts in the marriage, you need to try to figure those out. Sometimes those ifs and buts are with regards to this, the tongue. That is why the Prophet ﷺ, he says, مَنْ يَضْمَنْ لِي مَا بَيْنَ لِحْيَيْهِ وَمَا بَيْنَ رِجْلَيْهِ أَضْمَنْ لَهُ الْجَنَّةِ Whoever gives me a guarantee that they'll protect their tongue and they'll protect their private areas from haram, from quarreling, from excessive quarreling, from lying or cheating or backbiting. The Prophet ﷺ says, أَضْمَنْ لَهُ الْجَنَّةِ I guarantee for that person Jannah. What an easy bargain, what an easy bargain. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahimahullah, he says, I lived with Salih, my first wife, for 40 years until she passed away. But not once did we get into an argument. You might think, whoa, what's going on here? We all have arguments. So he basically refers to the concept of it takes two hands to clap. When she would start yapping, I would keep shut. And when I would start yapping, she would keep shut. And it takes two to argue. But what if those arguments are taking place? What if there are inconsistencies in marriage? Then you have reports wherein the Sahabiyat or the Sahaba radiallahu anhum approach the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam to seek guidance. It's not a taboo, my brothers and sisters. Rather than living a miserable life, approach those who have the knowledge to rectify the wrongs that you've possibly done in your marriage and make them right. Approach the counselors, approach the psychotherapist, approach imams in the community who possibly are acquainted with degrees of psychotherapy. They will help you out. And subhanAllah, it shouldn't be that, no, I'll live a life of misery rather than face this shame. Who told you it's shame? Subhanallah, when an entire surah was revealed regarding a sahabiya who came to the Prophet ﷺ with a marriage complaint, literally, Suratul Mujadala, or Mujadila, according to some qira'at. She came to the Prophet ﷺ and she said, Ya Rasulullah, when I was good looking, my husband used to treat me well. I was the queen of my house. And today when I'm becoming old, he commits zihar against me. What is zihar? Basically, the Arabs had a concept in the past of saying, أَنْتِ عَلَيَّكَ ظَهْرِ أُمِّي. You are to me like the back of my mother. Meaning, just as my mother is haram upon me, you are haram upon me too. Meaning, there's no marital relations between you and I, in a fine way. Aisha radiallahu anha, subhanallah, what a beautiful narration. She narrates this hadith. She says, by Allah, that woman was talking to the Messenger Muhammad in one corner. I did not hear a single word that woman was saying. But my Rabb, min fawqi sab'i samawat, from the arsh, he heard the words of that lady. And he revealed this entire surah. قَدْ سَمِعَ اللَّهُ قَوْلَ الَّتِي تُجَادِلُكَ فِي زَوْجِهَا وَتَشْتَكِي إِلَى اللَّهِ. Indeed, Allah has heard the complaints of that woman who's complaining about her husband. وَتَشْتَكِي إِلَى اللَّهِ. And above all, she's complaining to Allah. وَاللَّهُ يَسْمَعُ تَحَاوُرَكُمَا. Allah is listening to your dialogue, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imagine, this is how Allah took a marriage problem seriously to the extent that He revealed a surah. So don't shy away from these concepts. Don't shy away from these aspects. This is just one of the examples that I'm mentioning. That is, of course, not even the discussion for today for those who've read my email. I will, inshallah, at another time, expound upon this exact aspect, this aspect of seeking help. I'll expound upon it in details. It's a very important aspect. Some of the major problems arise when we bring such culture into our deen, which is definitely anti-deen. It is against the deen. Don't get me wrong, culture is beautiful. The samosas and the biryani and the kabsa and the beautiful delicacies that you make, that's all cultural. The Prophet didn't eat these things, but they're beautiful. You know, they're amazing. We enjoy them. But then there are certain cultural elements, beware my brothers and sisters, which are against the deen. They are against the deen and they are not encouraged. And usually, majority of the cases that I've seen, pertaining to marriage problems, they are fueled from this culture, this cultural aspect. What does the word culture contain? Cult. You are making yourself into a cult when you are embracing negative ideologies. So among these cultural aspects that is prevalent out there today is that divorcees are shunned down. You name it. I've spoken to people from African backgrounds, from Indo-Pak backgrounds, from Arab backgrounds. Once a man gets divorced, it's really hard for him to get married. But in all cases, when a woman gets divorced, oh, subhanallah, when she gets married, you have brought shame to the family. How can you do this? What is wrong with you? As if she doesn't have the right anymore to preserve her izzah, her honor, her chastity through marriage. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He speaks about this concept in the Quran. Allah speaks to the Sahaba actually. Allah says, وَلَا جُنَاحَ عَلَيْكُمْ فِيمَا عَرَّضْتُمْ بِهِ مِنْ خِطْبَةِ النِّسَاءِ أَوْ أَكْنَنْتُمْ فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ عَلِمَ اللَّهُ أَنَّكُمْ سَتَذْكُرُونَهُنَّ وَلَكِنْ لَا تُوَاعِدُوهُنَّ سِرًّا إِلَّا أَن تَقُولُوا قَوْلًا مَعْرُوفًا. Allah says, O Sahaba, O companions of the Prophet ﷺ, O Muslimun, there is no harm for you in presenting a marriage contract to divorcees, or a marriage opportunity to divorcees in subtle references, not confirming with them in their iddah, not confirming with them in their waiting period, but giving them a sign that, don't worry, you might find someone who will be compatible for you in the future. Imagine, that's how open society was at that time, where the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, or the Sahabiyat, who got divorced, at times there was a competition in who would marry them to take care of them. Allahu Akbar. Alim Allahu anna, look at Allah, this is our deen. Allahu Akbar. Allah sees, Alim Allah. Allah knows that people like you, oh Sahaba, you're thinking about those women. Astaghfirullah, Sahaba thinking about women. No, they are, they're humans. They're thinking about them. And that is where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, I haven't seen anything more beautiful for two lovers than marriage. If you fall in love with somebody and they're compatible with you, I haven't seen something better for you than marriage. Allah's telling the Sahaba, you're thinking about them. Now imagine it surfaces that so-and-so religious person in the community is thinking about marrying so-and-so. And he's talked to her. Subhanallah, let me tell you what a nuclear bomb will go off in the Muslim community at times. Believe me, we've seen it. To the extent one of our sheikhs, Sheikh Yusuf, may Allah have mercy on him, after his wife passed away, he thought of preserving his chastity. And I mentioned this. Subhanallah. So he approached a woman in anticipation of getting married, but there were blockages from this person in the society and that person. Yeah, you're an old man. What are you going to get married for? Or what are you doing? Astaghfirullah. As if he's committing a sin. And then in that depression, he passed away. In that depression, he passed away. That is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, if individuals are looking for chastity and they want to get married, then don't imprison them in your brother's or your sister's home throughout the rest of their lives. And let not their case be that, what if I get married? What if I get married? The sister's thoughts or the brother's thoughts. It may be, what if I get married and I shun my entire family? No, by Allah, you're bringing a karama, an honor to your family, by fulfilling the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon you, of getting married. Majority of the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if not all, they were divorcees or they were widows. Isn't this an enough of a lesson for you? Allah reveals a surah in the Holy Quran by the name of Surah At-Tahrim, wherein he directly talks to the Ummahatul Mu'mineen. And he says, if you don't straighten up, if you don't stop playing jokes with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then Allah says, عَسَى رَبُّهُ إِن طَلَّقَكُنَّ أَن يُبَدِّلَهُ وَفِي قِرَاءَةٍ أَن يُبَدِّلَهُ أَزْوَاجًا خَيْرًا مِنْكُنَّ مُسْلِمَاتٍ مُؤْمِنَاتٍ قَانِتَاتٍ تَائِبَاتٍ عَابِدَاتٍ سَائِحَاتٍ ثَيِّبَاتٍ وَأَبْكَارًا. Allah told some of the Ummahatul Mu'mineen, if you don't take the Prophet ﷺ seriously, of course, when they were playing jokes with him, it was out of gaining his love. But Allah explained an important concept here. That when it comes to the Prophet, no jokes at all. When it comes to the Prophet's feelings, then there's no playing jokes with him. So he says, if you don't stop this behavior, then Allah will possibly, the Prophet will divorce you, and Allah will replace with you with spouses who are better than you. What are the qualities that he describes? Muslimat, they will be proper Muslims. Mu'minat, they will be faithful women, believing women. Qanitat, they will have the taqwa of Allah. Right? Muslimatin, mu'minatin, qanitatin, ta'ibat, they will be those who repent to Allah often. Sa'ihat, abidat, they will be worshipping Allah. Sa'ihat, they will travel with the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This tells you that once in a while, you know, take your wife out. Sa'ihat, and then he says, thayyibatin wa abkara, both women who were married before and both women who were not married before. This tells you that there can be married women who were divorced better than non-married women at times who are not divorced or who hadn't gotten married at all. So let this not, you know, let not one say, but this is my culture. Beware of such statements, my brothers and sisters. You know, I fear to say, I'm reluctant to say, but these statements can take one out of the fold of Islam. You know? Especially when it is in lieu of the deen. So this second concept, so inshallah we rectify this aspect among our households and among ourselves. And if we have possibly made dhulm, oppressed a person who was married, right, and then they got divorced and we blocked them from getting married, let us at once seek their forgiveness. Seek their forgiveness. Because this aspect will be accounted for even on the Day of Judgment. If their chastity is at stake. The second concept that I mentioned, that I would discuss, is with regards to individuals who don't have a choice of getting married. They are forced to get married. Or they can't marry from anybody except their race. I'll discuss both this concept. People have to get married to a specific race. This is a common notion among many backgrounds. Well, this is not true. If you see that the person coming for your daughter or coming for your son may be from a different race, but they may be better than anybody you may get from your own race, or you see that they are compatible with your daughter or with your son, then apply the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. إِذَا أَتَاكُمْ مَنْ تَرْضَوْنَ دِينَهُ وَخُلُقَهُ فَزَوِّجُوهُ. If you see somebody approaching you whose deen is intact and whose character is upright, then get them married to your daughters. And with regards to the daughters, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says with regards to the women that women are married for four concepts, four aspects. لِنَسَبِهَا وَلِجَمَالِهَا وَلِحَسَبِهَا وَلِدِينِهَا. Right? فَاظْفِرْ بِذَاتِ الدِّينِ تَرِبَتْ يَدَاكَ. For four aspects. What are they? I think I faltered. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam basically, he said that a woman is married for her wealth, for her lineage. At times people love to marry a woman from a beautiful lineage, for her beauty and for her deen. Even if all the above three are compromised, or one of the first three are compromised, but she is intact with the deen. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, فَاظْفِرْ بِذَاتِ الدِّينِ. Choose the one. Yearn for the one who has deen in her life. تَرِبَتْ يَدَاكَ. May your hands be full of dust. This is a figure of speech. Meaning, why are you wasting your time just playing with dirt? Go ahead, get married. To the extent, Qadi Bakkar, a great imam of the past, he was imprisoned because of speaking the truth, like many of the a'immah are of the past. He was imprisoned. But nobody could solve a matter of marriage that was happening in the community. It was with regards to this aspect. The woman is great in her deen, but she lacks in the few of the other qualities. So they came to Qadi Bakkar while he was in prison. See, if you don't yearn, if you don't learn the deen, then you will be in need of the imam, even if the imam's not in the community, or the scholars are not in the community. So Qadi Bakkar, you know, while sitting there contently, he said, فَاظْفِرْ بِذَاتِ الدِّينِ. What's wrong with you, man? Choose the one who has the deen. تَرِبَتْ يَدَاكَ. Look at Ahmad bin Hanbal, rahimahullah. When he was approached with regards to marriage after his first wife had passed away, his son Salih said, there's two sisters. One of them is very beautiful, but lacks a bit in the deen. She's practicing, not as practicing as her other sister, who can't see properly, or who has crooked vision, but she is the boss when it comes to the deen. She is intact when it comes to the deen. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal smiled, said, what would I choose if I wouldn't choose the one with the deen? So many a times, don't let beauty be everything, or wealth be everything, and compromise this religious aspect, which will be an investment for you. This religious concept in marriage is an investment for your children, by Allah. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for goodness. I haven't covered this concept in total, but inshallah we will continue discussing these concepts next week. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for goodness and guidance. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us the best of Muslims. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us Jannat al-Firdaus without any reckoning. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bestow all marriages with bliss and happiness. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for those who are unmarried to grant them suitable spouses. And we ask Allah to grant all of us Jannat al-Firdaus without any reckoning. الحمد لله الواحد المنعم والصلاة والسلام على محمد سيد الأنام وعلى آله وصحبه الكرام وسلم تسليما كثيرا ما دام يجري هذا النظام. Just to conclude this point that I was speaking about, you look at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's marriages. He married from various tribes and nations. Some of his wives were from a Jewish background. Some of them were from a Christian background, and this did not harm the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam even this much, because he knew that their deen was intact. You take the example of Bilal radiallahu anh, where he was a young man in need of marriage. So he came. Who did he get married to? Abdul Rahman bin Auf radiallahu anhu's sister. Bilal, an African man who was from a slave background, right? But who did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestow him to get married to? And through the tolerance of the Sahaba, Abdul Rahman bin Auf's sister, a pure-breded Arab from the Quraysh. Among the individuals who are counted to be from the Ashara Mubashara, the 10 Sahaba who were in one majlis, in one gathering of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who were promised Jannah, Bilal radiallahu anhu marries his sister. And in the time of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, or at another moment, it was in the time of Umar radiallahu anh, Bilal radiallahu anhu had a brother who was also from a similar background. وَكَانَ عُمَرُ إِسْتَعْمَلَ بِلَالًا عَلَى الْأُرْدُنِ. Bilal radiallahu anhu was the governor of Umar radiallahu anhu in Jordan. Now his brother wanted to get married. So look at the beautiful manner in which he proposed for the girl, the possible spouse. So he approached the house and he said, "Ana Bilalun wa hadha akhi." Straight up, brother. "Ana Bilalun wa hadha akhi." This, I'm Bilal and this is my brother. "Kunna abdain fa'a'taqana Allah." He told his whole history rather than, going into details, staying quiet for a bit. You know how the marriage proposals go. We'll go into that another day. "Kunna abdain," we were slaves, Allah freed us. "Kunna dallin fahadana Allah." We were astray and misguided, so Allah guided us. وَكُنَّا عَائِلَيْنِ فَأَغْنَانَ اللَّهِ. We were literally poor, no clothes on the body, poor. Allah made us rich, Allah made us independent. فَإِن تَنْكِحُونَ فَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ وَإِن تَمْنَعُونَ فَلَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. If you want to get my brother married to your daughter, alhamdulillah. If you don't want my brother to get married to your daughter who's an Arab, and my brother's African, then Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illallah. There's no God but Allah. Allah will make other arrangements. So this was the beauty of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. So the man married his daughter to the brother of Bilal. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for guidance and goodness, and we ask him for the ability to reap the lessons of benefit that we get from the lives of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: لا تسبوا أصحابي، فلو أن أحدكم أنفق مثل أحد ذهبا ما بلغت مد أحدهم ولا نصيفة. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. اللهم أعز الإسلام وأنصاره وأذل الشرك وأشراره. اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى من القول والعمل والفعل والنية والهدى، إنك على كل شيء قدير. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. اللهم انصر المستضعفين في مشارق الأرض ومغاربها. اللهم انصر إخواننا في الصين يا رب العالمين. اللهم انصرهم في الشام وفي بورما يا رب العالمين. اللهم انصر كل من لجأ إلى بلاد الأرض ومن له إلا غيرك يا رب العالمين. اللهم انصره يا رب العالمين. اللهم أنزل عليهم ملائكتك الكرام. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. أمين يا رب العالمين. عباد الله رحمكم الله، إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. قوموا إلى الصلاة.